Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're on the third tape, not the third chapter, or even the first chapter yet of Genesis, but the third tape of a commentary just before Genesis, before we get into chapter 1. And we're talking about how the entire world was condemned because of sin, but now we're into the situation, the part of the Bible, the book of Genesis, where God called Abraham, actually Abram, and gave the world hope again that they could get back to God. So we'll take off as soon as we get up to the throne to ask the Lord to bless this tape. We'll take off from that point. So let's go up to the throne now and ask the Lord to bless this tape. Father, bless this tape. Quicken the words to everyone's spirit and to the mind of their spirit to where it will bring the prophet to each one of us, as it is that you wanted it to be from before the foundation of the world. In Jesus' name, and everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go.
But once more, the book of Genesis doesn't leave us without hope. It shows us another beginning. It records how God chose
the Because man. Genesis is the beginning of all things. And now, because of the fact that there's sin, God had to make a new beginning, and that new beginning was with Christ. He promised Abraham that he was going to send a deliverer, a judge into the world, a savior, the Messiah, and that through him, by people believing in him and doing what he says to prove that they believe in him, that people from all nations could get saved, not just the Jews, but people from all nations. Okay, and then what?
It records how God chose a man whose name was Abraham, who would become the father of a new and very special nation. And through this special nation would emerge...
And that special nation was Israel. God chose Israel out of all the nations, and out of this nation God would choose the Messiah, the Savior of the world. So the Savior of the world is a Jew. And it's amazing because everybody claiming to be Christians, and they hate Jews so much, but it was the Jewish nation that brought forth the Savior into the world. And that goes to show how crazy the majority of the people of the world are, that, and the Lord calls them Gentiles or dogs because they hate the Jews, God's chosen people, and here it is that they have to go to a God that is Jewish. And so what do you think God is going to do to a bunch of Gentiles? And it's no wonder that he calls them dogs. Now, if you're a Gentile and you come to the Lord and you become a spiritual Israelite, then you're saved and you don't have to worry about being a dog anymore or a Gentile. But you take this Ku Klux Klan that hates blacks and Jews of all people, you're going to have to face the world's greatest Jew at the judgment bar of God. Then what are you going to do there? Are you going to light up a cross and put sheets over your head then? You can't hide from him then. Okay, go ahead.
And through this special nation would emerge or would come the solution for our separation from God, each other, and the new Garden of Eden, the world God gave us, the kingdom of heaven.
Which is the kingdom of heaven. There's a long sentence, so just run some of it again and then I'll stop you.
And through this special nation would emerge or would come the solution for our separation from...
Right, there's a middle wall of partition because of the sin, the Adamic sin on our soul between us and God. Not only do we have the Adamic sin on our soul, but all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we have to come to Christ and then be in him, because only Christ is saved. Only Christ is the only one that never sinned. And so we have to be inside him that never sinned. And in order to be in him, we can't sin anymore either. Because Christ won't allow you to be in him a sinner. Yet he says, be ye holy, because I'm holy. If you want to be in me, you have to be holy. So the only one that the Lord God, the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son recognizes are those that are in God, in Christ, that are in Christ. And you can't be in him. He says he'll spew you out of his mouth. What is sin? He said, even if you're lukewarm, if you're not zealous to do his will, to be holy, he'll spit you out of his mouth. His mouth is his body. He'll just, like you're a bunch of sputum, spit. So if you want to get into heaven, Christ is heaven. Christ is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now then what?
And through this special nation would emerge or would come the solution for our separation from God, each other, and the new Garden of Eden.
Okay, now that's a long sentence, so you have to slow down a little bit and let me say what that means. Separation between God, he solves that problem, because when you come into Christ, that middle wall where you cannot talk to God, but then you get into Christ, then you can talk to the Lord, because he'll listen to those in his Son. Then what was the next thing? And then separation between one another. People that are not in the Lord, they're separated from each other. There's enmity between one another. And that's how people know that the Lord's disciple, is that you love one another. But the people of the world don't love one another. They pretend to for political reasons and for social reasons and for monetary gain and for the exaltation of themselves, or to become part of a community or a part of a culture. I mean, you all get to be the same, so to speak. You want to fit in. That's the things of the world. But they never think about fitting into the Lord. So if you want to be in the culture of heaven, you want to be one of the socialites there, the only way you can do that is to be in Christ and for Christ to be in you. No other way. So people say, well, isn't there a lot of ways into heaven? No. That's false doctrine. There's no name given among men whereby you must be saved but the name of Christ. And you must be a member of his body, part of his body. And it's a very straight way and narrow way, and you have to press into heaven. Then what?
And through this special nation would emerge or would come the solution for our separation from God, each other, and the new Garden of Eden, the world God gave us.
Well, and from the Garden of Eden. And there's a new Garden of Eden for all those of us that are in Christ, and that's heaven. It's much better than the Garden of Eden was. So we won't be separated from the Garden of Eden to Tree of Life any longer. Tree of Life is Christ. Heaven is Christ. Christ is everything. He says he's the fullness of everything. Fullness even of the Godhead in a human body. Then what else?
The new Garden of Eden, the world God gave us, the kingdom of heaven. Genesis is the beginning of the truth of how God began his work of healing broken humanity, a healing to be expressed in the laws he would give his people, and would come into being in the coming of Jesus, Messiah.
Right, the law now, he says, I give you a new commandment, and that commandment is love one another. Because if you love, he says, then people love one another, then people know you're my disciple. Not by tithing, they don't know that. By going to church, they don't know that. By leading old women across the street, or helping the Cub Scouts, the Boy Scouts. Some people may think you're a good person, but they will not know that you're a disciple of Christ until you love one another. That is, and love is the keeping of God's commandments. That's what love is. Then what?
Genesis is the beginning of the truth of how God began his work of healing broken humanity, a healing to be expressed in the laws he would give his people, and would come into being in the coming of Jesus, the Messiah who God promised would come. The book of Genesis is to be to us a reminder of where all of our problems began.
Yes, all of our problems began in the Garden of Eden when sin entered in. And if you sin, you're going to have nothing but problems. Because God is constantly going to turn away from you. Then what?
It tells us of the fatal consequences of rejecting God's purpose for us. And it also tells of God's amazing love for the people of the human race who will abide in his word and his word in them.
And his word is God, who will abide in God. Then what?
Through Genesis, we discover the only road to spiritual wholeness and completeness is in following, in every detail, God's planned program for us. The setting was Mesopotamia, then Canaan, Egypt.
In other words, we're looking at this, a lot of people do, as scenery, or like scenes in a movie. It starts in Mesopotamia. Then where?
Canaan.
Canaan land. Then where?
Egypt.
Then in Egypt. Then what?
Key verse, quote, "And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord declared him righteous because of his faith." Genesis 15:6. Quote, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Back to the commentary.
So we're considered righteous or perfect when we believe God. Believing God to where you can actually contend with him. I put a piece on that in my new piece of literature that I've just written on Abraham contending with God over the people, the righteous, possible righteous people in Sodom. Would you destroy 50, 40, 30, 20 men, or even 5 or 10 men, or even one person for the wicked? So the Lord is, he's contending with the Word, because the Word in Abraham made it possible for him to be able to contend with God. It isn't Abraham that could contend with him, but it was the Word in Abraham that could.
Key events: creation, the fall, the flood, the Tower of Babel.
These are all in Genesis. Then what?
Key people: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Heading: a good creation. Everything in God...
A good creation, because everything that God created was good. Amen?
Amen.
But as I said yesterday in the message, that everything with the exception of people, because God made a people, a person, but he didn't create for him a helpmate. And he said it's not good that man should not have a helpmate. So he created him another person. So God says that he wanted, he said, let us make people in our image. Amen?
Amen.
In our image and likeness, let us make people. Okay, because he made animals, birds, fish. Amen?
Yeah.
And then cattle and small cattle. He made people then. Amen?
Amen.
He said, let us make him in our image and likeness. And let him be like us. And let us give him dominion over all the fish, the fowl, the birds, the cattle, the livestock, and the young cattle, the small cattle like sheep and goats, and over everything in the world. And they can continue having the rulership of everything in the world so long as they don't disobey me. Because whoever they disobey is the one that took over the rulership of the world. And that was the devil. And now we have to be restored. We have to start being obedient to the Lord. Because every time we're disobedient to the Lord, we then are subjects or under the subjection of the devil. Now, are you disobedient to the Lord ever? And or are you disobedient every day of your life? Well, then the devil is your master. Not the Lord, because you're not faithful to the Lord to keep his commandments. Hello there, you with the stars in your eyes. Okay, then what?
Everything in God's creation, God said, was good, with the exception that Adam was alone. The fact is that Adam's solitude is the only thing in the first two chapters of Genesis which God considered to be a problem. When God created a partner for man, then God was pleased with everything he had created. God remained involved, even after Adam and Eve disobeyed God.
He still stayed involved with them because he chastens them whom he loves. He still wanted them to recover and get out of their disobedience so that they could eventually go to heaven. Amen? Because he knew they were going to have to die. He had already pronounced the death sentence on them. And so he says, I don't want you to die before you get saved. Because if you do, you're my two sweethearts. You're the ones that I am, the first two people that I ever made in this world. And we know also that all flesh, every human being is the mother of all flesh, is Eve. So he didn't create a bunch of people. He created one man and one woman out of that man. And everyone on the face of this earth happens to be the descendants of Adam and Eve. The Bible clearly says that Eve is the mother of all flesh. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
It also is true that ever since the fall, God has been seeking to make things right again.
Seeking for, you know, to cause people, to convince them to do the right thing for their own good. God's got it made. He's in heaven forever. It's you that he's concerned about, you and I. All right, then what?
Our sinfulness always leads us away from God and distorts the way God created us to be. We either walk toward the light or we walk in darkness.
Or we walk towards the dark. You know, there's if you, in the east, sun comes up, and in the west it goes down, amen?
Amen.
So we want to walk eastward, amen, where it's coming up. We don't walk towards darkness. All right, then what?
If we want to go to heaven, if we want to be strong, we must wake up and recover ourselves. Recovery means we must begin growing in Christ, God in Christ.
We must be saved, and we must continue in the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
We need to grow, mature. The more we mature, the more we hear the Word of God, the stronger you get, don't you?
Yes.
All right, but if you, you know, if you hear a message that's from the Lord today, and you think, well, earlier today I thought I was really strong. But then all of a sudden you hear a message from the Lord and you realize, oh my God, I needed that. Amen?
Amen.
And it's bringing me strength and it's causing me conviction in my soul. And the Bible states that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen?
Amen.
That brings fear to hear such truth. It does me. Does it you?
Yes.
Amen, they said. Okay, then what else?
This is what God wants for we humans, is that we become God humans.
God people. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
God men and God women. We must be changed, transformed. We must be recreated, a new creation, a new creature. We are fallen. We cannot remain fallen.
Now those of us that are saved are recovered now, and we must stay recovered. We must continue on to the end. Or only those that continue on in recovery to the end shall be saved. You can't get saved today and then start doing your own thing and just going along with the world, you know, and then be saved. Don't pattern yourself after some actor or singer or dancer or a sports figure or anybody. If you want to get to heaven, fashion yourself after the Lord. Because these sports figures are dying, and these movie stars and singers and actors, they die and they go to hell. So you don't want to fashion yourself after them. There's no virtue of life in them. Only in the Lord. Then what?
We must die to our old nature. Old, carnal. We are only new.
Yeah, another word for the devil is the old man. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
We are only new creatures in Christ. And to remain in Christ's resurrection.
And remaining in his resurrection. All right, then what?
Adam and Eve's disobedience has affected all of God's creation.
Yeah, all of us, not only people, but everything in God's creation. Animals, chickens, birds, they're all in a polluted world now. Everything is cursed. Amen?
Amen.
After the flood, you know, the world was much more beautiful than it was before the flood. Than after the flood. Before the flood, there was no deserts. Everything was beautiful and green and pretty. And there were many other animals and wildlife and birds and everything. But after the flood, a lot of creation was destroyed. Then there was mountain crags and all kinds of deserts, loathsome deserts. And the world just doesn't look the same anymore. Then what? And Sodom and Gomorrah never looked the same either after it was burnt with fire and brimstone. Once it was like a resort, like Palm Springs. Okay, what else?
The perfect environment of the Garden of Eden was gone from the earth seemingly forever, and life now is a struggle. Our attempts are futile to avoid.
Yeah, to avoid strife and everything. We can't avoid it. There's trouble in this world. Amen?
Amen.
Then what else?
The realities of a ruined world have led us into all kinds of destructive behaviors. We must face them, the broken realities of the world, its daily struggles and hardships. Once we have done this, we have started down the road of righteousness. We then have entered the spiritual area where battles are fought, that we are able to regain that which has been lost. Heading, Promise of Healing. The book of Genesis tells us of a series of, quote, new beginnings that come out of the ruin of our sinful nature. In the original fall, God promised hope and healing for us when he told the serpent that the offspring of the woman would crush the serpent's, Satan's, head. When people generally continue to sin, to disobey God, God sent the flood as judgment for their sinfulness. After the flood, God again promised victory and confirmed that promise with a rainbow. Then the people rejected God again, building a great tower as a memorial of their pride. In response, God confused their one language with languages, causing society to become fragmented. Yes, sir.
Okay, because now the nations are, there's not one nation or one language, but it's fragmented into many languages, you understand? Okay, then what?
It was then that God chose the man Abraham and promised to bless all nations of the world through his offspring.
Now, all nations, all the languages. Okay, we all come together now, again, but for good, not to build a tower as a memorial unto our pride, but we're doing something for the Lord, not ourselves. Amen?
Amen?
And at the same time, we're doing something for ourselves, because by building a memorial for the Lord, we're saved. Amen?
Amen.
It's a strange thing, you know, like if you think of others before yourself, others will start thinking about you. That's just the way it is. You just are thinking about yourself, and you become loathsome to people, you know, like a hateful, doleful bird or worm. People don't like you. Okay? You have to show yourself friendly to have friends. Amen?
Amen.
Then what? That's what the Bible says anyway. Okay, then what?
Every time human sin brought ruin, God promised to those who would repent and stay repentant victory and wholeness in the face of it. Heading, Hope for Reconciliation. As people began to experience the terrible consequences of their disobedience, God didn't leave them to figure out a plan for reconciliation by themselves.
Well, it started hitting them, you know, when the flood came and everyone got killed. It started to dawn on them that there was some kind of penalty for sin. Amen?
Amen.
Then you see a lot of times in Exodus where the earth opens up and a bunch of people fall into hell alive. Then you start, you know, maybe it dawns on you, but if people don't believe the reality of the word, then they figure, that's just a bunch of baloney. And then it happens to them, but they're not around to tell about it. Okay, then what?
God didn't leave them to figure a plan for reconciliation by themselves, nor did he have a long list of rules or principles to follow that would repair their damaged relationships. Instead, God always worked with the people on a very personal level in the reconciliation process. As we enter into reconciliation process, we find it to be relational in nature.
Right, because we have to have a relationship with the Lord before we can be reconciled. Amen?
Amen.
There's no other way. We have to come to the Lord and have a personal relationship with Him. Okay, then what?
We must become one in Christ Jesus.
Yes, we must become one with Him. We must be united to Him, because the Lord wants to get personal with us, and He wants us to get personal with Him. We have to have like a marriage, because He's the groom and we're His bride. It has to be that tight. Now, marriages today are a joke. people, they're not really a joke, they're a tragedy. But people get married and they just figure, well, we'll just be married for a year or two or whenever we get sick of each other. And then we'll get another partner. That isn't the way it is, folks. The relationship with a husband and wife is to be the same as with the Lord and yourself. And that is to be a never-ending relationship. Otherwise, you don't make it into heaven. As the Bible said, we must continue with him to the end. And then we'll be saved. But if we stop, the Lord takes no pleasure in those that turn back, is what the Bible says. Then what?
There is no relationship more personal with the relationship between reconciled to God man and wife, both servants of the Lord.
Right. Now, if you're going to be married, you need to be married to a person that is of the Lord. And don't try to get married to somebody that you know is not of the Lord and thinking that you're going to bring them to the Lord. How will you ever bring them to the Lord when you disobey the Lord by marrying somebody that's not of the Lord? Do you think that you're going to get better after you marry somebody? If you're disobedient and marry somebody that's not of the Lord, you're never going to get better. Because you started your relationship on sand. And the trials and tribulations, the storms of life, are going to blow you down. And you're never going to get up. Okay, then what else?
Also, it requires us to seek reconciliation with people close to us. In Genesis, God modeled this pattern for us time and again. He chose certain people and worked patiently in their lives, reconciling them with himself and the people around them. Outline of Genesis. 1. The history of man. Chapter 1. Verse 1 through chapter 11, verse 32. A. The creation narratives. 1:1 through 2:25. 1. Creation of the heavens, the earth, and life upon the earth. 1:1 through 2:3. 2. Creation of man. 2:4 through 2:5.
These are verses we're talking about. Okay, then what?
B. The fall of man. 3:1 through 24.
Chapter 3, the third chapter. 1 through 34?
24.
Okay, that's where you find that. Then where else?
C. The pre-flood world. Chapter 4, verse 1 through 5, verse 32. D. Noah and the flood. Chapter 6, verse 1 through 9, verse 29. E. The Table of Nations, Chapter 10, Verse 1 through 32. F. The Confusion of Languages, Chapter 11, Verse 1 through 9. G. Genealogy of Abraham, Chapter 11, Verse 10 through 32. 2. The Chosen Patriarchs, Chapter 12, Verse.
And who are they? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Chapter 12, verse 1 through chapter 50, verse 26. A. Abraham, chapter 12, verse 1 through chapter 23, verse 20. 1. Abraham's Call, chapter 12, verse 1 through chapter 13, verse 18. 2. The Battle of the Kings, chapter 14, verse 1 through 24. 3. God's Covenant with Abraham, chapter 15, verse 1 through chapter 21, verse 34. 4. Abraham's Test, chapter 22, verse 1 through 24.
What was Abraham's test?
Sacrificing his son.
Oh, you got that one. All right. You've read Genesis before, huh? All right. Then what?
5. The Death of Sarah, chapter 23, verse 1 through 20. B. Isaac, chapter 24, verse 1 through chapter 26, verse 35. 1. Isaac's Bride from Mesopotamia, chapter 24, verse 1 through 67. 2. Abraham's death, chapter 25, verse 1 through 11. 3. Ishmael, Esau, and Jacob, chapter 25, verse 12 through 34. 4. God's affirmation of his covenant with Isaac, chapter 26, verse 1 through 35. C. Jacob, chapter 27, verse 1 through chapter 35, verse 29. 1. Jacob's deception of his father, chapter 27, verse 1 through 46. 2. Jacob's flight to Haran, chapter 28, verse 1 through 10. 3. God's affirmation of his covenant with Jacob, chapter 28, 11 through 22. 4. Jacob's marriage in Haran, chapter 29, verse 1 through chapter 30, verse 13. 5. Jacob's return to Canaan, chapter 31, 1 through chapter 35, verse 29. D. Esau, chapter 36, verse 1 through 43. E. Joseph, chapter 37, verse 1 through chapter 50, verse 26. 1. The sale of Joseph into slavery, chapter 37, verse 1 through chapter 40, verse 23. 2. Joseph's exaltation, chapter 41, verse 1 through 51. 3. Joseph's dealings with his brothers, chapter 42, verse 1 through chapter 45, verse 28. Jacob's move to Egypt, chapter 46, verse 1 through chapter 48, verse 22. 5. Jacob's blessing and burial, chapter 49, verse 1 through chapter 50, verse 21. 6. Joseph's final days, chapter 50, verse 22 through 26.
Okay, this is Tony Alamo. You've heard all the commentary that I have here. And tomorrow we'll start on chapter 1, verse 1, the book of Genesis. Until then, God bless you.